Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the show. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese. Also, this show is made possible by kind donations on our Patreon. Those are John Donna, Stephanie L., and Terry Needleman. Thank you all for your donations, and if you'd like to become a patron, just go over to patreon.com/musicalswithcheese and you can submit a donation per episode, and you would help support us in making the show. This is not required, but if you do it, you get a few cool perks. So go on to patreon.com/musicalswithcheese and show us some love. All right, got on to the real show now. Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew to like musical theater more. And today we've got an extra special guest.
Oh, such a special guest.
You might recognize her from the red carpet of the Tony Awards, Katie Lynch, the host of Backstage Bite on BroadwayWorld.com. Katie Lynch!
Woo-hoo-hoo. We can call it Breakfast Bite, too, if you want.
Oh, did I say Breakfast Bite?
No, you said Backstage Bite. I'm just
or
giving
did
you
I just,
a hard
like,
time.
Slur my words because I talk way
I'm
too fast?
I'm just giving you a hard time.
When life gives you eggs,
make an omelet.
You make an omelet.
Andrew, I'm so impressed.
Well, that just ruins what we're talking about.
There's something rotten. There's something rotten. You can smell it, you can tell it's something rotten. Now the kingdom is shot and it's all gone to pot. Heaven help us, there is something rotten.
So, Katie, you suggested this musical. Why are we talking about something rotten?
Because when I heard about the premise of your show, it made me think of my husband, who is a CPA, like nothing about theater ever until he met me. And now he's a sometimes a bigger theater nerd than I am and quotes more musical theater than me, listens to musical theater more than I do. And this is his favorite musical. So I figured if this non-theater person is in love with this musical and I love this musical, then there's got to be something good to it to sway a non-believer.
And Andrew, would you say that's true?
Look, if I could describe this in one word, it's just entertaining. That's
yes.
It.
Yes.
Something Rotten is an original musical comedy with a book by John O'Farrell and Carrie Kirkpatrick and music and lyrics by Carrie and Wayne Kirkpatrick. Set in 1595, the story follows the Bottom brothers, Nick and Nigel, who struggle to find success in the theatrical world as they compete with the wildly popular William Shakespeare. The musical began with an idea that the brothers Carey and Wayne Kirkpatrick had since the 1990s. They finally joined with John O'Farrell to write several songs and presented those songs and a treatment to the producer Kevin McCollum. The team then joined Casey Nicola, who brought in several actors, resulting in the workshop in 2014. Then it basically just got fast-tracked to Broadway after that, where it opened at the St. James Theater in March of 2015. It was nominated for several Tony Awards, but only winning one for Christian Borle as William Shakespeare. That's the basic information of Something Rotten. It was only slightly painful to get through all that.
Good job, Jess.
But why does this show work so well for both the musical theater layman and the expert? Because there are some deep cut musical theater references in here.
Oh, definitely. But I think it's masked by such general humor that, like, it's almost, I don't want to say South Park because I don't think that's right. But to me, it's that basic humor that if you aren't laughing at this joke, then there's something wrong with you kind of humor.
A lot of the music theater jokes as well, I think, work. Even if you don't really understand them, because they almost explain them to you.
I also think that it's all masked, it's all also accompanied by the most catchy music. So I think it's very hard to not like it.
It has one of the most unlikable lead characters, like, in a long time for musical theater. Like, that's what baffles me, that you're still, like, so engaged, despite the fact that our lead is an egotistical, mean, gross human.
Definitely.
Well, he gets his comeuppance at the end.
Kind of. But then again,
in an aw shucks way.
In an aw shucks way, yes. I also think that the casting was so brilliant in the show with Brian D'Arcy James, because it's hard to not fall in love with Brian D'Arcy James and just want him to succeed.
I agree.
In my opinion.
I agree. How do you hate Shrek? Like,
right.
Shrek? What does that have to do with Shrek?
Because he played Shrek.
That's actually not true. Mike Myers played Shrek. Okay?
No, in the musical.
And the only version worth talking about.
Whoa.
No, I would disagree with that. The movie is just the best.
Oh, the musical is so much better, though.
I've actually never seen the musical, so I couldn't speak to that one.
The musical looks like terrible. That's all I can say. I don't know. I've never seen it, but...
Me neither.
Everything I see of it looks bad.
It's so That's charming funny. In the same way that this is. Like, that was actually going to be the point of comparison I was going to have for this.
You think this is comparable to Shrek? This is, like,
yes.
Directly...
Really?
That might just be Brian D'Arcy James, and it's connected in my mind, but, like, Renaissance yeah. theming and, like, deep-cut musical theater references and just, by the end, yeah, it's a little cynical, but it's sincere. Like, that type.
Yeah.
Like, they do have the time period and, like, the, like, Shrek has all the pop culture jokes, even though it's set, like, way in the past. I guess I can see it.
Sure. I just, the biggest thing for me that I can't compare the two is that it's an original story versus a staging of a movie.
And I agree. That is the coolest thing about this. Like, an original musical. How rare is that?
So rare. So very rare. You look at what's on Broadway this season, and it's, I mean,
hashtag yes.
Hashtag there's prom, Hadestown. Would we consider Cher original?
No, that's based on an IP, which is Cher.
Do you believe?
Because it's not
Head
a
Over Heels was interesting, but that's kind of like also an IP.
Well, but then if we actually go into original, it's not original music.
We got Beetlejuice and Tootsie coming out. Yeah, you're right. Like, this isn't the most original year.
Season. Yes. Yeah. Beetlejuice, Tootsie. We have Pretty Woman and King Kong are still technically this season.
Everyone's out of ideas.
But let's be fair,
so
Broadway
that is
has
one
always
of,
been based off of things.
True. I mean, even we go back to one of the best shows, in my opinion, out there, Thoroughly Modern Millie. That was a movie. That was actually my parents' first date. They went to go see Thoroughly Modern Millie. And now it all makes sense that I'm a theater child.
But yeah, like, Something Rotten harkens back to the days of The Music Man, where it's just, like, a fun time of the theater.
Exactly. And to me, if it is a great show when I can leave the theater and be humming one of the songs. Maybe not know all the lyrics, maybe not know more than one verse, but humming a song. And it's very difficult to not hum Welcome to the Renaissance.
Welcome to the Renaissance. With poets, painters, and bon vivants, and merry minstrels who show the streets of London a strumming their lutes
in puffy pants and pointy leather boots.
Welcome to the Renaissance.
But let's be fair, it's not like the most challenging lyrically I've ever heard. Like,
but to be against you on that.
All right, let's go.
It's not the most challenging lyrically, but it is extremely clever to me. Cleverness, but I guess that's me.
Which matters more?
I'm like the biggest fan of a pun in the world.
But when a line goes by and I'm still thinking of, like, unpacking it, like, the one I'm thinking specifically is, don't be a penis, the man is a genius, and I'm like, just kind of like letting that wash over me for
don't
a few
a
minutes
weenus.
I'm missing, like,
don't be a
don't
weenus.
Be a weenus.
Yes.
Still. It's still.
Are you sure?
Positive. Don't be a weenus.
I'm going to take her word
genius.
On this.
What's a weenus?
You know,
your
a weenus
elbow.
Is the flesh of your outer elbow.
See, yeah, that is kind of gross.
Look at how much we're unpacking this one lyric.
So clever. The cleverness levels are deeper than I thought.
I know.
Can I be the guy that says that according to Google, it's don't be a penis?
Really? Really? Now I'm okay, just going to have to look it up somewhere too. Thanks, Alexa. I thought us women had our back. Hashtag women supporting women.
Hey, Alexa, is it penis or weenus?
Do we want to talk about how they represent William Shakespeare? Because that's always been probably the biggest selling point of this show.
It's funny you say that. When I first heard the show was about Shakespeare, I didn't want to go see it.
Really?
Really?
Why?
It's because everyone hates Shakespeare.
Because you joke about that, but a show about Shakespeare, it's like, wah. When I first
I think Shakespeare love ruined everything about Shakespeare, in all honesty.
Oh, I don't even know if I've seen that movie.
I think English class ruined everything about Shakespeare.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think English class.
Isn't Shakespeare supposed to be fun? But then, no, now it's not. It's, educational.
Mm-hmm.
Blech. Mm-hmm. I mean, Shakespeare was writing in his time for a drunken crowd, but now we examine his works as if they're, intellectual.
Exactly. Is that me? I'm
boring.
Sorry.
Boring.
So, it's funny you say that, because going back to the original point, that turned me off about the show. And it wasn't until my friend, who at the time had been working the merchandise booth for the show, said, I know you and I know your taste and I know you're going to be obsessed with this show. So then I saw it. And I was. And so my friend sent me
well. For context, what is your taste in musicals? What are your favorite musicals of all time?
My favorite musical of all time is West Side Story, hands down. I think it is, which is funny that we say that, because that is based on a Shakespeare show, Shakespeare play. But I think it's perfect. I think it's beautiful. Light in the Piazza, I'm obsessed with. But then I also...
You can't talk about Adam Gettle anymore.
That's fine. I don't even want to. I want to talk about something rotten. I mean, those are probably my two favorite singing along two shows, that and Grey Garden, because I also love the music from Grey Garden. Favorite. But then if you ask me what my taste is in musicals normally, I would probably say I err towards the musical comedy. I err towards the traditional musical theater, Thoroughly Modern Millie. Something that's going to make me laugh. Something that's going to make me sing. I love a good tap number. I love a good dance number.
So you love the high romance and the cheese.
I do. I do.
That's what I like.
Give me the extra cheese. Always.
Jess likes all the serious stuff. He's like, it's got to be about something political and serious, and it's got to be dark and gritty.
No, but as long as, but I will top all of this off with the fact that I say all of this, but if it's not a good show and it's not executed well and it's not paired with a good book or a good score, then it isn't good to me.
So how do we feel about William Shakespeare being portrayed as a rock star?
Funny though, that they went that route, because isn't it true that back in Shakespearean times, he wasn't famous?
No, he wasn't. Well, he was well-known, but not rich.
Well-known, but
not
exactly.
I don't think anyone in this show cares about historical accuracy, though.
I don't think so either. I don't, definitely not. But I think just the way that they've spun it is hysterical and way more captivating than I think people would traditionally think of William Shakespeare.
They could have easily just made him an out-and-out, mustache-twirling villain, and they don't do that. They Mm-mm. give him depth, which is something I really appreciated.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, he does just steal people's plays, though.
He does steal people's plays, but he does it while tapping.
But they set that up very well.
They do. They do. And it's all very farcical.
I mean, Nick steals first.
Technically, yes. Very true. But the way they do it is all so tongue-in-cheek.
I mean, he doesn't actually steal anything.
Yeah.
I love the fortune-teller guy. He's my favorite part of the whole show.
Fake Nostradamus.
Oh, he's hysterical. I love... Oh, I just forgot her name, but I love Nick Bottom's wife. Oh, I think
Heidi Blickenstaff in the original
Heidi
production?
Yes. Ugh. Maybe also I'm just obsessed with her.
We were trying to write in the characters' names, and we wrote it in as Nick's wife.
Yeah. What is her name in the show?
Does she have a name in the show?
She has
a
name.
She does.
Says it several times.
But I think her character is fantastic and hysterical.
Yeah, like, finally the woman gets to be, like, the really, really funny one. Like, every time she comes in a different disguise, I just lose it.
Well, I think that, actually, if we're speaking about women in this show, I think all of the women are, or I should say, both of the women are written very well and have a lot of depth and comedy in a show that I think you would generally associate with men.
Her name is Bee, by the way.
Bee, that's right.
Bee.
That's right.
Yeah, her and Portia, they're great. They're goofy.
They're great.
They're fans. They're like lovey, loving people that you're so happy when they're on screen or stage. Forgive me.
Absolutely. Definitely. But yes, I agree. Nostradamus is very funny.
I think it's more the outfit and his tone of voice.
Well, he's
anything.
Just also perfect.
And he has like the big number, like the number to end all numbers in the middle of Act One about every musical ever made.
A musical, and nothing's as amazing as a musical with song and dance and sweet romance and happy endings happening by happenstance. Bright lights, stage fights, and a dazzling chorus. You want to be great, then you gotta create a musical.
That's such a great song.
Well, yes, that entire scene is an event.
An event. Well, that's the other thing about the show is you think like, oh, that one's an event. But then two songs later, there's another event that happens on stage. It's showstopper followed by showstopper.
And it's one of those rare times where you have showstoppers where you don't want it to end, where you're not like, let's get back to the story. You're just like, oh, give me more.
Exactly. I completely agree. In all honesty, I don't think that there's a bad character in the show, which I think is saying a lot for the writing. And a lot of memorable characters. So, for instance, Portia's father, the preacher, played by Brooks Atkinson, is hysterical.
So my next question before we head to the mid-show is, what part did we all laugh at the most? Because this is a hilarious show, and I'm sure that we all have different parts that we thought were the funniest.
I like the big jokes. So either a musical number or the part at the end where they do their musical about omelets.
I was going to say, I think their musical as omelets is pretty fantastic. First, you take a tablespoon of butter in a medium frying pan over medium heat. It's just so funny. They sing a song and tell you how to make an omelet.
Oh, first, melt a tablespoon of butter in a medium frying pan over medium heat. And saute the onions and green pepper till they're tender. Add the ham.
It's useful too.
It is.
It's good life advice.
You could start an entire show about that.
We should be telling people how to make cheese.
You should. Why have you not written this song yet?
Okay, Google, how do you make cheese?
No, we can't trust it.
Can't trust Google. Like, everything I look up is apparently wrong. Literally, Google had one job, and it's not working for me today.
It says here you need to start with peppers. I don't know.
So funny.
Why do I have to crack peppers open? Is it bad that, like, my favorite jokes in this entire show aren't the musical jabs as much as I love them, but the Shakespeare jabs?
Oh, yeah.
So what's your favorite one?
What's
is it
your
just
favorite?
The one where you hate Shakespeare?
No, like, I mean, that one's fun, and I love that song. But it's like, when he, like, in Willpower, when he's just, like, reciting things, and, like, if music is the fruit of love, play on, it's like, I don't know where I'm putting that yet, because, like, stuff like that makes me laugh.
I agree.
Like, and when someone's like, oh, you don't ruin Richard for me, and he's like, oh, yeah, he needs a horse, and then he dies. Oh!
They're just so smart. You know what? I had a friend here in the city who is in high school, and their English class took them to go see Something Rotten on Broadway. And I think it's so smart and funny because it does give you, obviously not historical events, but an interest in the Renaissance, and it does give you some facts. And I think it's just a really interesting way to introduce that kind of history. I mean, like Hamilton.
But the song that I think makes me laugh the most is probably the Black Death thing.
Oh, God. That one is so funny.
Road out of China.
is so funny.
It's also gross. Like, when it comes up in my iTunes shuffle, because it does, and I'm like, ah.
That's funny. I would say that my favorite little part in the show is probably the tap battle back and forth between Shakespeare and Nick Bottom. With the, in this Bottom's gonna be on top.
You can't be the best because I am the best. I have written 12 plays and each one is a testament to my great skill. I am the Will, and I wrote Taming of the Shrew, and Richard III, and Richard II, and Henry's 4, and 5, and 6, and Titus Andronicus. And oh, did I forget, Romeo and Juliet!
And it's great because it's all actually an iambic pentameter, because I was counting it because I'm a weirdo.
No, I think it's amazing. See, and that's another brilliant thing about the show.
Jess, you're such a nerd.
Yeah, iambic pentameter is a really dumb way to write poetry, I will say that.
I don't even know what that means.
It basically means you need 10 syllables.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, to Shakespeare's credit, if we're going to talk about that real quick, what we learned in school was that if you actually pay attention to his rhythms and to how it's written, your acting is built in for you. That is part of the genius of his writing. Your emphasis is already put where you should be getting high, where you should be going low. It's very interesting.
Shakespeare is such a genius.
Or a weenus.
All right. Sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the show, but today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese to get started today. Why Audible? Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, and entertainers. This week, we are recommending Hamlet, a fully dramatized audio edition by William Shakespeare, narrated by the full cast from the Folger Theater. To download your free
audiobook... couldn't get William Shakespeare to do it?
No. He doesn't read his own work. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese. Again, that's audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese for your free audiobook.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Let's get back to the real show. So So Welcome to the Renaissance is like one of the greatest opening numbers ever.
Hands down, absolutely. It jam-packs all of your music, all of your characters. It's the best.
I kind of wish that the lead singer came back a little bit more throughout it, in all honesty, as character.
Mm-hmm. Well, he shows up again like one
in
time,
act
right?
Two. To open act two.
Yeah, but just once. We need more. Come on, bring it on. Make him like a full like Mandy Patinkin and Evita.
Mandy Patinkin. No, but I agree. It's such a good opening number. I mean, but yes, in regards to opening number, it is definitely what an opening number should be.
And it doesn't even need to set up like a main character. Just set up the world that we're in.
It shows that you're in the historical Renaissance, but it shows that it's not the historical Renaissance, like, for real.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's a goof. It's like Shrek. It's just like Shrek.
You see, you laughed at me when I first made that connection.
I'll still go with you. I haven't seen the show, but I'll believe you.
I'm just comparing it to the movie. I mean, it's like the Shrek movie.
Okay.
This is up there with Shrek the film as like a classic.
Hmm. Well, what I was going to say was, I think the other thing that is so brilliant about this show and why it makes it so successful is that it doesn't take itself seriously.
At any point.
And there's something great. So good, refreshing about that, especially in a season that was up against like Fun Home, which is a great show, but right. Like opposite.
It's like how Book of Mormon, but still Book of Mormon has that like emotional follow through throughout it. Mm-hmm. That is kind of the spine of the show. This one doesn't need that. And I'm very Mm-mm. appreciative that it doesn't have that.
Just to have it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is
really not everything needs to make you cry.
Yeah, I think it really is something that the writers did an amazing job with, is knowing when to stop. And knowing what was enough and not adding just because you have to have an emotional thread.
You just gotta have jokes. 2 hours of jokes. People sit through that all the time.
All the time.
Oh, God, I hate Shakespeare. That's right, I said it.
No!
I do, I hate Shakespeare.
Why?
I just don't get it, how a mediocre actor from a measly little town is suddenly the brightest jewel in England's royal crown. Oh, God, I hate Shakespeare.
Let's talk about God, I Hate Shakespeare and how it is such a weird I Want song.
Ah, it really is.
Because it is an I Want song. Way. It is... Mm-hmm. It is, I hate this, and that's going to drive me. My hatred is going to drive me, as opposed to, like, this thing I want is going to drive me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's pretty obvious he's just jelly.
Totes. And then just wait for the reprise.
Yeah, and then he's like, no, I'm definitely jelly.
If you couldn't tell from the first song.
But I also...
Just in case you missed it.
I don't think you're ready for this jelly. Yeah,
I don't think you need the reprise to know what he wants is the thing. Like, the reprise is the sprinkles, but you have all the pieces there.
For sure. The ice cream and the syrup.
I think we get it. You really hate Shakespeare.
I know. I love the asides of the chorus.
This is, like, the most properly used ensemble I've ever seen.
Yes. Yes. I would agree. It's almost like a Greek chorus at times, where they're commenting... what you're thinking.
And it makes me mad that the Tonys, they don't have like a best ensemble like award, because
don't get me started. You know, there was a major petition going around last year for it.
It needs it, because
it does.
Literally, the ensemble gets no recognition.
Mm-hmm. And they work their butts off,
probably more than the leads
sometimes.
Leads are a bunch of lazy fucks. Tell me about it.
Not to be that guy, but like the fact that Jonathan Groff, who shows up 3 times in Hamilton,
right.
can get a Tony nod, but the
right.
ensemble that is there from the beginning of the first song to the end of the last song.
Well, did you know that Brian D'Arcy James left Hamilton to do Something Rotten?
Yes.
That he was the original, yeah. At the Public, he was the original King George.
Brian D'Arcy James makes interesting career choices that I find
yeah.
not bad ones.
Not bad ones.
Like, he was in the original run of Next to Normal, then he left that to do Shrek, and then he was in the original run of Hamilton, and he left that to do Something Rotten, and then he was in Spotlight with, like, Michael Keaton, that won Best Picture.
Oh,
and he's
going to
be in West Side Story now.
That. That's right. That's true.
He just wants to do goofy stuff, but he keeps getting tied into all these serious shows.
Kind of.
And he's like, you know what? Actually, I'm out of here.
That's funny. That's really funny.
What's that? You have a spot in Shrek for me? I'm here again.
Definitely. If I didn't think King George was goofy enough, I'll go to Something Rotten.
I'm going to tap dance about eggs.
So funny.
I'm going to tap dance about eggs. That's good.
It's true. They do.
He's not even going to sing about them. He's tap dancing about them.
Yet again, this is the beauty of the show, is just the pure absurdity of there's tap dancing eggs. There's like tap dancing eggs on stage. Eggs are tap dancing.
But it makes sense in the logic of the show.
It does. That's why it's so brilliant. That's why it's brilliantly done.
If you're ever in a pickle, you can call for me and quick will be how fast I run.
I'm not in a pickle.
You and me should be a team for any dream or any scheme. That's how it should be done. Sure, I could stay in the
Let's go. Let's talk about Right Hand Man.
Right? It's so good.
All right. Everything. I'm going to look up the lyrics, Steve.
Go for it.
I'm going to look up the lyrics.
Okay, Google. What are the lyrics to Right Hand Man?
Oh, no. The song from Hamilton pops up.
If you're ever... Oh, of course it does. Yep. If you're ever in a pickle, baby, call for me and quick will be how fast I'll run. Come on.
I mean, yes, but it does the thing that Les Mis does, too, where they have to restructure the syntax of a sentence to make the rhyme work.
That doesn't bother me.
I know. It doesn't bother a lot of people. That's just me being a fucking snob.
I understand.
As always.
But I think I like it because I like is kind of like, I'm going to run this household while you go and be an artist, which I think is like something you don't see very often.
Definitely. They bring in such an interesting theme into of feminism, ultimately, into the 1590s. That's amazing.
Nick just turns down the offer for a sugar mama. I mean, come on.
I know.
What is he doing?
His poor frail ego, or ego.
Egg?
How you doing on those lyrics over there?
Okay, Google.
If you're ever in a fix and it's fixed, I like that line a lot.
If you're ever in a fix and it's a fix, you need to nip.
That one's really good.
It's very good.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Jess is just jealous because these lyrics are better than anything he can ever write.
That is fair. That is fair.
Jess told me he hates this show because all the lyrics are fantastic.
He's like, oh my God, why is this show being brought up?
God, I hate Something Rotten. Yes, I do. I hate Something Rotten.
Man, we just got to wait for the reprise to know what he's talking about.
Oh, what is he talking about? I don't really get it.
No, I love this show. Don't be that guy.
No. But it's also, speaking of Right Hand Man, it's such a lovely song in regards to a woman's up-tempo. I think it's very different than a lot of songs out there. And it's very refreshing to have something like that. Like, if I was still performing, it would absolutely be in my book.
You've convinced me. I think I'm going to add it to my book.
Good. I hope you should.
And it's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's really, really hard. So very, very hard. I make it look easy, but honey, believe me, it's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's so incredibly hard. So inconceivably, unbelievably hard. It's hard to be the bard.
The last big one I really want to talk about, because we haven't talked about Shakespeare much, is It's Hard to Be the Bard. And how often do you get to see, like, a queen pastiche in a musical, aside from, like, We Will Rock You?
Right. That's funny. I didn't think about that.
It's very similar to Killer Queen, and it is wonderful, and I listen to it, and I'm just like... And it also gives you, like, some sympathy for Shakespeare himself, who at this point is just kind of seen as main antagonist. And it's like, yeah, I have this pressure to succeed, and yeah, it's great, but also, like, what if I fuck it up next? Which gives him, like, his power to move forward throughout the rest of Act Two.
I keep saying this, but the whole show is just so smartly written. It gives...
It is.
It is. It gives every character its dimensions. So nothing seems like, well, why are they doing that? Which a lot of shows happen to have. Just unjustified songs, unjustified motives. When here, I think that all of them are very well as farcical as they are, as silly as they may be executed, they are there.
I like when Shakespeare dresses up in his little costume. It's hilarious. His little fat suit.
Me too.
All right. So, everyone, what is your favorite song in the entire show?
It's a musical. I mean, that's just, it's such a good song. I don't know. I love that one a lot.
I think I might have to say Welcome to the Renaissance. Yeah, I think I might need to.
What about you, Jess?
Anyone could say any song from the show, and I could be like, can't argue with that. Yep,
that's true.
Great.
It's very true. There's not one that I'd be like, well, really?
Like, even like little ones, like To Thine Own Self Be True, which I think is like, that's a great like story conflict number. Like, yeah,
definitely.
I see why you like that.
Definitely.
The only one, like, the least good one, in my opinion, like, and this doesn't mean it's bad or anything like that. It's just the I Love the Way, because it's just a sex joke, and
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Me too. I find pleasure perusing those writings and musing. So often I pleasure myself. Wait, that didn't sound right.
No. Out of all of my favorites, and I still, it's not a song that I would even remotely try and skip if it came up on a playlist, is that one.
Sex jokes are hilarious, though.
They are.
Look at Hello Again.
Look at Hello Bottom's Again. Gonna be on top.
Yeah, but that one's a little bit more subtle. That one's a little bit more like...
Yes. They should have called it Power Bottom.
Should have they?
No, definitely not.
No.
Don't.
This power bomb's gonna be on top.
Let's. No.
I'm sorry.
Oh my
but yeah,
goodness.
Bomb's gonna be on top is probably my favorite number.
Your favorite.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, now that we have reached close to our close, let us all give our overall opinions on Something Rotten. Katie, I know you've went over this before, but once more, tell us your thoughts on Something Rotten.
I love this show. I think it's so fun. I think that it's actually also a really good one, in my opinion, that can be done at regional theaters, which I don't think you can say that a lot for every show that comes out on Broadway.
I think SpongeBob would do good there, too.
I think as long as you could find a really great way to make an awesome set. But no, Something Rotten is truly one of my favorites. It always constantly brings a smile to my face. If I'm having a bad day, it's definitely one I turn on to my playlist. Mm-hmm. For sure. I love it.
Also, I want to chime in. This has like a really good cast album that doesn't mm-hmm. ruin the entirety of the story.
Yeah.
And gives you a separate experience with this album itself than the actual show.
Yes.
It doesn't spoil every trick in its sleeve.
Well, that's one thing I was also going to say, was that this is a cast album where if I'm on a road trip, we will put the album on and just listen straight through. No stopping.
All right, Andrew, what is your thoughts?
This is one of my new favorites, just overall.
I'm so happy
that doesn't
to hear
happen
that.
Often, so everyone on the show, I think, knows that I'm usually very harsh on all these because that's the point of the show. But I love this one. It's hilarious all the way through, and the music is super good. And just watch it, like, just do it. Like, what's wrong with you? Or at least listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
For real. Mm-hmm.
At least.
Jess, what do you think? You hated this, didn't you, Jess? Just say it.
I didn't hate this.
Jess, just say it.
I liked it a lot. I really did. I think it was tainted by the fact that I kind of listened to this and everything else that came out that year at the same time. Like, I think it was like American in Paris and a bunch of other things. It was a big year. So this one kind of ended up falling to the wayside, and picking it up again recently, I loved it a lot. And I was like, why didn't I get into this sooner?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So I think it's great. And it's a fun experience to listen and watch and enjoy, and every joke knocks it out of the park. There's not a flat joke in this show. Like, there's not even one that I thought about groaning at.
It, to me, it was also one of those shows that it's over and you're like, oh, it's over?
But it doesn't overstay its welcome
either. Which I
think
says a lot. It doesn't. It doesn't. It keeps you wanting more. Like buying the cast.
Exactly.
I can't wait for the sequel.
That's brilliant.
Honestly, this one might lend itself to a sequel. It's not like any other, like, most Broadway sequels, Love Never Dies, Annie 2, don't work out, but I think this one could.
Annie 2 exists?
That's
holy
funny.
Shit.
Yes, it does.
There's like three Annie 2s is a thing. There's like Annie Warbucks, Annie 2, Miss Hannigan's Return, and then Annie 2, the like direct-to-VHS version where she goes to London.
Is Annie like an Italian film or something? Like,
and then there's Annie Hall. No? Yeah?
Annie's got a gun?
Annie, get your gun.
Annie, get your gun.
So yes, close. So close. Andrew, so close.
So, Andrew, what is your cheese rating for Something Rotten?
I feel like I can't give it a cheese rating and I have to give it an omelet. So I'm going to give it an omelet.
Mm.
There's cheese in an omelet anyways, so I think that's fair.
There is cheese in an omelet. Would it be a Western omelet? Would it be like a Greek omelet?
Probably something, whatever they'd make in Britain.
Ooh. No, they'd put ham in it. Ham omelet.
A hamlet. I'll give it a hamlet.
All right, what about you, Katie? What would be your cheese rating?
What's my scale?
You pick a type of cheese that
cheese.
You think fits.
Oh. It would be Gouda. Because it's so Gouda.
Oh, I don't think we've made that pun yet, but you know what? We had to get it out of the way.
In 30 episodes? In 30 episodes?
Just have we? I don't believe we have.
Did that pun?
No, we haven't.
Oh, there you go.
That's amazing.
I guess
she's the first. She's a trendsetter.
If any show deserves that low-hanging fruit, it's this show.
Yes, it is. And if anyone to make that low-hanging fruit joke, it is I.
All right, are you guys ready for my cheese rating?
Yeah, sure. What do you got?
Sure.
I am giving this Sage Derby.
Jess, what
is
that?
Which is a green... It is a green cheese because it looks like it's something rotten.
Okay, Google, open up cheese.com.
That was a good one.
It is a vegetarian cheese, so.
Oh, there you go. It's not even real cheese.
No, it's real cheese. I don't understand why they put that. Because, like, is there, like, a vegetarian?
Oh, it's not,
like,
it's
a non-vegan
cheese. It's vegetarian cheese. Okay.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Are people putting meat and cheese now?
I mean, that is a common combination, so.
That's weird.
I mean, yes, but you wouldn't sell, like, a chunk of, like, ham and call it cheese.
Mm-mm.
Well, you'd sell a chunk of fudge and call it cheese, so.
Yes, they would.
The real question for this episode is, on your social media, will there be a vote of how many people think it's weenus and how many people think it's penis?
Yes, weenus or penis, vote now.
It's you guys,
right, guys,
get on it,
we're
Twitter
starting
followers.
A social media poll.
You guys, it's going to be the next gold blue dress.
This is the most important thing. Weenus
are you
or
on
penis?
Team Katie? Are you Team Jess?
Exactly.
Or Team Google.
On that note, today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese. All right. Thank you guys for listening. It was a lot of fun, and Katie is wonderful.
You're wonderful.
Katie, do you want to promote some of your stuff out there for the world so they can all find you?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Yes, please find me. We're really simple. It's just on everything. We're just at Backstage Bite because we make food that goes backstage and the actors eat it. So Backstage Bite.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
Do you bring them cheese?
You know what? I've brought them cheese stuffed meatballs.
I feel like we have to complete the collaboration and you have to bring them cheese. I mean,
who do we want to bring cheese to? Is the question.
Who is your next guest?
My next guest is Samantha Barks from Pretty Woman.
Yes. Give her cheese and tell her I said hi.
All right, I will. She airs toward the vegan side, so I'm not sure how she'll accept it.
There's some nut cheese that I reviewed or put as a cheese rating recently. Thank you guys for listening. Please follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher at Musicals with Cheese. Our Twitter is Cheesy Musicals. We're on Patreon, Musicals with Cheese. Instagram, Musicals with Cheese. YouTube page is Musical Theater Lives. Send us an email at musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. Our title card was created by the amazing Jolene Casco, who actually just did the art for Andrew's band, too. She continues to do incredible work, so hire her for your stuff.
She's fantastic.
She is. She does a great job.
She is.
Now, do you guys have anything else left to say before we wrap up?
I've had so much fun.
Go watch the show.
Let us know if you want Katie on again. We will always have a spot open for her. She's always welcome back on because she is a joy.
You're a joy.
That's if she wants to come back, of course.
Yes.
I love talking about theater, so nope.
We'll talk about the drowsy chaperone. We'll have her back on for West Side Story. Maybe.
Next time we speak, you have to have fully listened through Drowsy Chaperone, or I won't come back.
I will. Thank you. Won't be our friend anymore.
Nope.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, cheese.
All right, that was our show. We'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese.
Okay, Google, how do we end the show?
Alexa, girl, help us out.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.